Get back to basics with Judaism 101 with Rabbi Michael Katz.
Hi, great to be with you. Yes, Judaism 101.9, Chai FM right here on Chai FM Judaism 101.9. You're together with Rabbi Michael Katz. It's great to be in the studio. It's great to have this beautiful day in the Highveld, and it's also amazing to be living in spectacular times. And we will be speaking somewhat about that in the next hour or so. So stay with us as we explore things that crop up in history around this time. Some amazing stuff that I have to share with you today about the times, about the dates, about today, tomorrow, and days in this coming week, where really, really momentous things have happened throughout our history during this time. And I think momentous things are not only are happening, but are going to happen in the next short while. And we really need to just think how prophetic, how biblical, how incredibly accurate, and how incredibly inspiring a tremendous amount about this all is for each and every one of us. So let's go back to what happened on this day many years back. If we think back to the year 1312, before the Common Era, so this is the time the Jewish people this is the time that the Jewish people are in the desert. It is 1312 before Common Era. It is the Exodus, and then some, and we have the incident which we just read about in the Torah in our Parshiot of the week, that Miriam, the elder sister of Moses and of Aaron, was afflicted with tzaraas. She got this illness, which we loosely call leprosy, but it was a spiritual ailment, after speaking negatively of Moshe. And she was quarantined outside of the camp for 7 days. Now, this happened on the 22nd of Sivan, speaking negatively about Moshe, Lashon Hara, and we know that Lashon Hara, negative speak, can bring about all sorts of bad and sad and terrible things. And it smote Miriam with leprosy. Of course, the whole Jewish camp stopped and waited for her to recover before they moved on, out of deference to her, who stood by and waited for her brother in the Reed Sea, as he was placed there by his mother. The terrible decree of Pharaoh against the Jewish men, against the Jewish boys, or against all boys, according to most. This incredible story of Miriam happened on the 22nd of Sivan. If we go to tomorrow, 23rd of Sivan, even more fascinating, because this is speaking directly to what is happening in the world today. And that is this, that after Haman was hanged in this on the 17th of Nisan in 357 before the Common Era, his evil decree to destroy, to kill, and to annihilate all the Jews from young and old, infants and women, in one day, on the 13th day of the 12th month, which was Adar, this remained in force. Now, strangely enough, the decree was not annulled. Queen Esther pleaded with King Ahasuerus to annul the decree, but Ahasuerus insisted that a written that has been written in the king's name and sealed with the king's seal cannot be returned. Instead, he suggested to Esther and Mordechai to inscribe regarding the Jews, as you please, and seal it with the king's seal. So he wanted there to be a counteracting decree. And on the 23rd of Sivan, Mordechai drafted a royal decree giving the Jews the license to defend themselves, kill those who rise up against them, to kill them. And it was dispatched to all 127 provinces of Ahasuerus' empire. When did that happen? 23rd of Sivan. This is where it happened, which is tonight and tomorrow. The idea of, in those days, remember the background, Persia, remember the place, Iran, remember the king who rose up with Haman, wanted to destroy the Jewish people, well, they didn't get very far. And all of them were taken down. And not only were they all taken down, but unfortunately, the king's decree to destroy the Jewish people remained there until it was overturned by a decree that was written by Mordechai, which was published, and which became then the way forward for the Jewish people, that they had the right to defend themselves, and they had the approval of the king, and it was dispatched to all 127 provinces, in other words, the entire known world of Ahasuerus's empire of that time. We're going to park that for a moment, and we're going to come back to it, but let's just fast forward to a special date that is coming up on the 28th of Sivan, which is early next week, where we have the day on which the Lubavitcher Rebbe arrived in the United States in 1941. So after escaping Nazi-occupied Paris and many perilous months in Vichy in France, the Lubavitcher Rebbe, so we're talking about our Rebbe, Lubavitcher Rebbe, Rabbi Menachem Mendel Schneerson, and his wife, Rebbetzin Chaya Mushke. They boarded the SS Serpapinto in Lisbon, in Portugal, on Monday, the 23rd of June, the 28th of Sivan, and on Monday, the 23rd of June, the 28th of Sivan, in the Jewish calendar, at 10:30 a.m., they arrived in New York, and as they say, it's not all the rest is history, but all the rest is ongoing life, actually, for what it was that the Rebbe actually established, setting foot on New York terra firma on the 28th of Sivan in 1941. Shortly after his arrival, the Rebbe's father-in-law, the then Lubavitcher Rebbe, appointed him to head the social and educational outreach programs of Chabad Lubavitch. And the Rebbe began his decades-long revolutionary work then to revitalize Jewish life in the Western Hemisphere, which spread by means of his shluchim, of his emissaries that he dispatched from his New York headquarters to, as we know, every single part of this whole wide world. So we've got that as the background, or the three talking points of our week in the background, and we'll certainly get to discussing them in more detail in the next part of this show. But if you have a small business, think about this. Imagine you ran an amazing special offer, and imagine Chai FM told 125,000 people about it. Imagine we posted your special offer on our social media platforms and listed you on our website. And imagine you could do all of that on a month-to-month basis. What would that be worth to you? Chai FM has a special stimulus package for small businesses, and you should get in touch to find out more. You can email info@chaifm.com or send a text to 2761. 895-1019. That's 2761-895-1019. And we'll call you. 101.9 Chai FM, 101.9 megahertz of building community businesses.
Get back to basics with Judaism 101 with Rabbi Michael Katz.
Hi, and welcome back. Yes, this is Rabbi Michael Katz. It's Judaism 101.9, and we are looking at things Jewish and things that apply to this time and things that we perhaps should know and things that we should be focusing on, and particularly in this week, living, as we said, in awesome times. Now, this is not a parsha shir. However, I would like to look at something from a parsha that does come up in a few weeks' time, where in Parshat Balak, we have the prophet Bilam, who steps forward and wants to curse the Jewish people. Instead of curses, he says some of the most incredible, beautiful, magnificent praises of Am Yisrael, of the Jewish people. He's looking from the heights, and no matter what happens, he can only say the words that God Almighty puts into his mouth. He's a prophet. He may be a prophet of the nations of the world, a prophet of Balak, prophet of the negative side, however a prophet he is, and he utters these words, which are so beautiful, so powerful, so prophetic, a tremendous amount about what we know about the messianic times, about Mashiach, are learned out, particularly by the Rambam, Maimonides, from many of these words in this parsha. It was chosen to be a separate parsha, a separate portion, a sedra in our parshiot that we read on our Shabbos and weekday Torah reading, and it'll come up in a few weeks' time, where we're reading about Balak, how he tried to employ the services of Bilam, and how it all went terribly wrong for him, and he found out that cursing the Jewish people was not a game that you could play. It wasn't something that you should be involved in. Talking ill of Israel was not something that has a happy ending for those who do so. However, Bilam says some magnificent and prophetic words, and in and amongst them, there is one line which we have been shown and need to focus on, and if you want to look it up, it is in chapter 23, and it is verse 24 of the book of Numbers, the book of Bamidbar, and it starts as follows. It says, Hein am kelavi yakum v'cha'ari yitnasa. Let's repeat. Hein am kelavi yakum v'cha'ari yitnasa. Let's translate it. And of course, there are several different translations, as they are always when we take the Hebrew and we try and put it in, particularly here when it's this sort of poetic, prophetic language. What does it mean? So it says that, remember, this is Bilam speaking, and he says, look, a people that rises like an awesome lion and raises itself like a lion. Repeat, look, a people that rises like an awesome lion and raises itself like a lion. Now, many of you will know that the word Ari is a lion. And Ariyeh, the name Ariyeh coming from Ari, meaning a lion. V'cha'ari yitnasa. But that's the second part of this, first part of this verse. And it is referred to in the first part, Hein am kelavi yakum. We're not just talking about any lion, we're talking about a lavi. A lavi, it's translated in this translation that I have in front of me, an awesome lion. It's not just any old lion, it is an awesome lion. Now, interesting to note that Rashi, the foremost Torah commentator, says, and of course, paraphrasing a little bit, it says, a people that rises like an awesome lion and raises itself like a lion. It says, when they arise from their sleep in the morning, they show the vigor of an awesome lion. And a regular lion, in grasping commandments, to put on a talis, prayer shawl, recite the Shema, and put on tefillin. It goes on, by the way, in the Rashi, and it says, because the rest of the verse says, and he does not lie down. He does not lie down on his bed at night until he consumes and destroys any harmful thing that comes to cause him damage. How is this? He recites the Shema on his bed and entrusts his soul to God. If an army or a troop were to come and attempt to harm them, God protects him, fights his battles, and slays the enemy. I think it's worth reading that again in the commentaries of Rashi. Let's go through it again. A people that rises like an awesome lion and raises itself like a lion. When they arise from their sleep in the morning, they show the vigor of an awesome lion, and a regular lion in grasping commandments to put on a talis, prayer shawl, recite the Shema, and put on tefillin. And he does not lie down on his bed at night until he consumes and destroys any harmful thing that comes to cause him damage. How is this? He recites the Shema on his bed and entrusts his soul to God. If an army or a troop were then to come and attempt to harm them, God protects him, fights his battles, and slays the enemy. Once we let that sink in just a little bit, this powerful, powerful verse, let's just think about the fact that the incredible actions of the Israeli Air Force and military and Shin Bet and Mossad and the Israeli government over the last few days has been built on, has been based on this verse. They've called it the Rising Lion. And where did they get it from? Well, on Thursday, just before the launch of this campaign, the Prime Minister of Israel was at the Kotel, the holiest Jewish site in the world. He was there, Temple Mount, together with President Milei of Argentina. Remember, a non-Jew, Catholic, come to Israel, not only to announce the moving of his embassy to Jerusalem, to Yerushalayim, Ir HaKodesh, but also to show his support and his partnership and his friendship with Israel, and amazingly presenting to the Prime Minister, of all things, that a visiting president would present to an Israeli Prime Minister, he presented him with a picture of the Lubavitch Rebbe. And they stood, because it was a picture, of course, that was made of Bibi Netanyahu, of the Prime Minister of Israel, together with the Rebbe. But it was all about the Rebbe, and that's where they spoke. At the moment of this presentation, talking about, in their language, as the Israeli Prime Minister referred to the Rebbe as a prophet, and repeated by President Milei, profeta, in his language. And incredibly, there they standing, talking, just this last week, about the prophecies of the Lubavitcher Rebbe. Prophet, profeta, and amazing things that the Prime Minister regaled and re-spoke about, of things that the Rebbe had told him about standing up to the world, about in the House of Lies in the United Nations to speak the truth, and about how the strength of Israel has to be standing up against no matter what it is that the world throws at us. And then at the Kotel on Thursday, shortly before the launch of this campaign, the Prime Minister writes on a note which he advertised, Hein Am Kalavi Yakum. He took this verse, this very verse that we have spoken about. He made sure that he had put on, by the way, his talis, stood at the Kotel, davened, prayed. I'm not sure, I can't tell you that he said the Shema, but in some way, I think, was reenacting what Rashi told us in this comment on this verse, and tying the rising lion, the idea of it's not only just a rising lion, but an awesome rising lion. It's not just any lion, this is something awesome, something incredible that was about to happen, that he clearly knew was about to happen. But recognizing that our people, Am Yisrael, are eternally bound with the blessings and the backing and the security of God Almighty, of our mitzvot, of our Torah, of our absolute commitment, not only to our holy land, but our absolute commitment to Am Yisrael, to God's holy people, and absolute commitment to understanding that God is the one who protects, that it's the protection from God Almighty that is the way that we are going to not only survive, but thrive, not only now, but in the future. And that as we, as a rising lion, are this people who commits ourselves not only to defending ourselves against those enemies who rise up and try and disparage us, who try and talk us down, who come out even today with all sorts of nasty things that they have to say about Am Yisrael, about Eretz Yisrael, about the Jewish people, about the land of Israel, about Israel per se. No matter what kind of ilk they are, no matter what kind of persuasion they are, whether they stand protesting in Times Square or on university campuses or around the world on Instagram or on any other of the media platforms, or whether they are in bunkers under Tehran and saying disparaging, despicable, disgusting things about Israel and about God's holy people, it's a bad game to play, because not only are you going to end up second best, but you're going to be destroyed. And it is predicted, it is spoken about in this verse and in the commentary thereafter, where we think about how that is a bad game, but how we have the very mechanisms with which to defend ourselves. Now, yes, of course, we have all the incredible inventions and the incredible military might of our soldiers and our pilots and our navigators and then some, which is absolutely awesome and absolutely incredible. And we sit back and with pride, we marvel at the accomplishments of the last few days. But then we think about, well, what's our part? What is there that we can do? And it's spelt out in the same verse and in the same Rashi. He tells us that by us davening, praying, by us putting on not only our talis, but more particularly even our tefillin, if we take those items, those things, those are the things that protect us. That bond that we make between ourselves and God Almighty, this is what protects us. This is what will see us through. This is our strong weapon of strength, our ability to protect ourselves. And it's not only about me. It's not only about the one who's putting on the tefillin. It clearly is something that is for all. Because when we put on that tefillin, we don't just daven for ourselves. We don't just think of ourselves. And we are, in a way, with the tefillin, reaching out to others, as the Rebbe instituted at the time of the Six-Day War. Go out there and put on tefillin. Not only with the soldiers going to war, of course, that was part of the program, but put on tefillin with people in the street. Make sure that each and every Jew puts on his tefillin. Men over the age of bar mitzvah, putting on tefillin every day except for Shabbos and Yom Tov, of course, and making sure that we are bound with this incredible bond of strength and this incredible protective edge that we have around us and that we cast, not only around ourselves, because we're not into the game of a self-centered religion or a self-centered way that is just about us. It's always about being that kingdom of priests and that holy nation, which is about sharing it with others. Going out there and ensuring that others have that protection too, and that the whole Jewish people are protected in the bonds of protection that I put on my own arm and my own head with my own tefillin, that is something that I cast far and wide. It's not just about me, it's about everybody. And so when we think about the famous tefillin campaign of 1967, which was reinvented and redeveloped and has become kind of, in inverted commas, a trademark of Chabad around the world. The idea of tefillin stands, the idea of people putting on tefillin. This is something that I think was a call to arms from the Prime Minister as well, recognizing that there is something so much deeper. If we want to rise like lions with our aircraft, our pilots, our navigators, our military strength, we need the rising like lions that Rashi talks about getting up in the morning, about putting on our talis and tefillin, about sharing it with others, making sure that other people do it as well, and hopefully in this way provide the most fundamental but yet the most incredible protection for our people here and there and everywhere at all times. Now, Dis-Chem Wellness Clinics for Adults offers convenient and professional care to help you manage health risks, whether you're having your regular wellness checks, such as blood pressure or cholesterol. Dis-Chem Wellness Clinics offers you a broad range of health screening services, including female health screening and pap smears, family planning, pregnancy screening. It's fast, it's affordable, and with care. Find your nearest Dis-Chem Wellness Clinics inside Dis-Chem Pharmacies. Better health starts here.
Get back to basics with Judaism 101 with Rabbi Michael Katz.
So, I don't know about you, but I certainly feel like we're living through amazing times. People have often said we're living through biblical times. Yeah, what's biblical about these times is the incredible synchronicity, the incredible divine providence. And it's more than that when we think about what is happening and what has happened in this time in the past. Well, if we take a look at the upcoming parsha of the week, and I always say this is not a parsha shir, but the upcoming parsha of the week of this week is all about the people who went to check out Israel and they came back with a bad report. They spoke ill of Israel. Because of that, the Jewish people had to wander in the desert for 40 years. But Moshe listened, and the people wanted to stone at first the people who came out with the positive report. And what was it that they said? What was it that Joshua and Kalev actually said? They said, Tova ha'aretz ma'od ma'od. This place is exceptional. This place is very, very good. We know the faults, and we know the issues, and we know that that you could look at it from the way of looking at everything else as being big and us very small. But no, if you change that focus, if you realize that we're like a rising line, if we stay committed to our mitzvahs, to our Torah, to our understanding that God is the one who neither slumbers nor sleeps, protecting Israel, the safest place on earth, as the Lubavitcher Rebbe kept on reminding people in wars of the past, the Gulf War, the Six-Day War, in those times, the place where Einei Hashem Elokecha ba mereishit hashana v'ad achrit shana, that it's, we're told, this is the place where the eyes of God are upon the land from the beginning of the year to the end of the year, from beginning to end, at all times and all places. And that we as a nation, as a people, can rise like that awesome lion, not only in the skies of Tehran or in the protective edge that we have to place around our people in Eretz Yisrael, in the land of Israel, in our holy land, but we here, we outside of Israel as well, have this unique opportunity and ability to look and to say, you know what, it may be a time when they're speaking B'dibat Haaretz, where they're speaking against Israel around the world. It may have been a time where there are those who rise up, who try to thwart us, who try to get rid of us, who try to, as they say, wipe Israel, God forbid, from the map. You think about all of that, and then we think about the fact that the Lashon Hara, the negative talk from Miriam, was not viewed very well by God and by the Jewish people, and even the greatest had to spend some time outside the camp in order to be able to come back in. That, of course, is today. We think about the fact that, quite amazingly, the decree against the Jewish people began to be annulled tonight and tomorrow, against the Jews, of the destruction that was going to emanate, that was going to come out of Persia, that was going to come from that part of the world, destroyed, finita, finished, tonight and tomorrow. And we think about the fact that the Lubavitcher Rebbe arrived in New York and began his campaign in earnest, which one of the high points, of course, was the idea of the mitzvah campaigns, the campaigns to spread mitzvot around the world, and particularly at times of difficulty, the mitzvah of tefillin. And for women, of course, is to light Shabbat candles and to light them on time on a Friday, and to make sure that we light the world with Kedusha, with holiness. This is our job. And that we put on those tefillin on a daily basis, except for Shabbos and Yom Tov, and we encourage others to do the same. This is, of course, our protective edge. This is, of course, our continued commitment and connection, not only to God Almighty, but to our brothers and sisters everywhere. And this, of course, makes us part and parcel of the protection of Israel and of the protection of the Jewish people everywhere. And please God, we will be triumphant, like the awesome lion, like the lion who wakes up in the morning and is ready to serve God on a daily basis. Be back with you to sum up right after this.
Get back to basics with Judaism 101 with Rabbi Michael Katz.
Hi and welcome back. Yes, nobody's underestimating in any way the pain, the suffering, the anguish, the difficulties that our brothers and sisters in Israel are facing on a regular basis. Woken up from their sleep every single night for the last week at least, and then some. But that's probably the least of the problems. The loss of life, the damage to people, the damage to infrastructure, of course, goes without saying, and the damage to buildings and apartments and homes. But the resilience of our people is absolutely incredible. Those people are inspiring, and they inspire us all. But we've got to do something about it. And what do we do and how do we connect? It can be in many, many multitudes of ways. But the most important, I think, is to show our commitment to our Torah, to our mitzvot, to our mitzvah of tefillin, to our candle lighting for the women, and to any other mitzvah and any other part of connecting with our holy people and showing not only just how much we care, but how much we care in helping to bring God's protection to them, to us, the healing where healing is needed, and the shoulder to cry on where that is needed, and the comfort, the solace to those who need that as well. But ultimately, to be part of this incredible time and this incredible victory that we know is imminent, with the ultimate victory of Am Yisrael and of people everywhere, the coming of Mashiach, may it come speedily, immediately, right now, and hopefully very, very soon, we will realize what true peace is actually all about, what true nachas is actually all about, what the real brachas that Hashem has to shower upon us are really all about. May it come speedily in our time. I want to wish you a great rest of the week, a great Shabbat up ahead. Look forward to being back with you again, same time, same place, possibly, probably, in a completely different time, era, and world next week on another exciting installment of Judaism 101.9.